silk and satin. By the bed lay a plaited whip with matted thongs. A ceramic Buddha held several sticks of highly scented incense that still smoldered.
More like a whore's boudoir.
They left the door open and continued down the corridor. Christy paused at the next doorway.
The Magus.
It was a totally bare room, painted in various shades of gray, panels of steel drilled to the walls. It contained a single iron-framed bed, covered by one white blanket. A black chest of drawers seemed to hold all of the Magus' possessions. The only ornamentation was a length of coiled chrome chain, dangling from a corner of the ceiling.
Freak.
Where?
There.
Mildred went ahead into the open space that had been used as a dining room. On a side table were all of their weapons. Christy snatched up her Smith & Wesson double action 640. Mildred kissed her Czech ZKR 551 target pistol, weighing it in her hand, knowing immediately from the balance that it held all six of the big Smith & Wesson 38 caliber rounds.
Now, let's do some business.
Had they looked around, they would have glimpsed a tall, elongated silhouette of a man standing stock still behind them, in the entrance to the building. He was less than a dozen paces from them, his goat-like head to one side, a bitter half-smile on his twisted mouth. The Magus turned to Wolfram, who was about to push past him, checking him with a hand on the arm.
No, the race is lost. They have their guns, and the others are coming.
We could get burnt out.
No, Gert. A wise man knows when to fold his hand and quietly leave. The rats have deserted the ship, and we are sinking. I feel company coming through the woods toward us. They will not be merciful.
He touched Wolfram lightly on the cheek with a steel-tipped index finger.
Farewell.
The next moment the hall was empty, and Gert Wolfram was standing alone. The friends met up in the shadowy hallway of the main building.
No time for talk. We reckon the Stickers will be on their way from every damn direction. Sekhmet have done a runner. Get your blasters and we'll head out.
You seen Wolfram or the Magus?
Jack strapped on his satin-finished Colt Python.
They were both after us, but they vanished.
Keep a watch out for them. Still time for them to do some back-shooting.
Sooner we get away from this jungle hellhole, the happier I shall be.
Ryan, we can stand and fight the muties when they get here, and I reckon that won't be long.
Can't we hide in the forest?
I don't think so, lover. Wolfram said they had a shitload of stickies. Could be 100 or more. They come in from out there with the way they got of sending norms.
Ryan's eye was caught by the first dawn light on the canopy of the bobbing balloon.
No. There's our way.
The only pause came as they reached the rear gates of the fortress. A Sekhmet was lying by them, hideously burned, resembling a charred log with jagged branches. One bloody eye blinked open from the blackened skin of his face. Ryan barely broke stride as he mercifully swung his panga down at the dying man's throat.
You're getting soft in your old age, Ryan.
Eh, it happens.
They headed through the fringe of the trees, along the beaten track to the balloon. A metal-runged ladder dangled from it, and a mooring line with a large grapnel dug deep into the soft ground.
Will that fragile basket carry us all in safety?
Sure, and the wind's from the west. Take us roughly in the right direction to get back to the redoubt. Let's all get aboard, friends. I'll get ready to let her free. JB, set light to the burner.
Ryan guessed that the balloon probably operated on a dual system. It was something he'd come across a couple of times before in other parts of Deathlands. There would be two layered skins, one of which would contain a quantity of some light gas, like helium. Rare and expensive. The second would be a more conventional backup of heated gas, and this was what would give the main lifting power to the balloon. Everyone except Ryan and Jack climbed quickly up the swaying ladder, with Doc needing help from both above and below. Jack pushed at Doc's skinny thighs and ass, while Mildred and Christy heaved at his wrists to topple him up and over, safe and snug, into the large wicker basket.
Up you go, Jack. I'll be right there.
The teenager scampered up with the agility of an acrobat, his shock of white hair appearing over the rim of the basket as he grinned down.
Ready to set sail!
The wind pushed clouds of stinking smoke from the burning buildings, wrapping it around Ryan. He stood by the taut tethering line, blinded for a crucial moment.
Ryan!
Ryan spun, blinking, reaching for the Sig Sauer, but it was too late for that. Wolfram was on top of him, flailing at him with an enormous bowie knife.
Fuck, bastard.
The fat man used the 16 inches of steel with strength and skill. Ryan backed beneath the balloon.
Back off the bastard, Ryan, and I'll chill him.
But Wolfram kept in close. Ryan had to dodge and weave, unable to snatch a moment to draw his own gun. The fat man was licking his lips, sweat frosting his forehead, grinning crazily at his one-eyed enemy.
Have you, bastard? Have you?
Stickies, lover. The stickies are here.
Ryan risked a glance from the corner of his eye, his mind almost losing concentration at what he saw. There they were, the muties from the woods, dozens of them, in a long, straggling line, emerging from the forest. They made their way along the damaged fence toward where the broken gates beckoned them into the fire-dappled fortress, shuffling onward, unstoppable. Their rheum-rimmed eyes turned toward the two men fighting, drilling directly into the unmistakable capering figure of Gert Wolfram. The movement stopped.
Wolfram.
Ryan took half a step away, his eye locked to the streaming face of the fat man, seeing the doubt and fear creeping across the swaying jowls, the sudden hesitation in his movements.
They've come for you, Wolfram, and they're gonna get you.
No, they...
Now they were moving again, toward the open gates, their fingers opening and closing, the suckered teeth visible in the dawn's early light.
Come up, lover.
There was a fraction of frozen time when Ryan could have drawn the Sig Sauer and put a 9mm bullet through Wolfram's face, but he let it pass. Instead, he leapt for the ladder and climbed up it effortlessly, swinging over into the basket.
Cut it, Jack.
Let me come in with you!
We're all full up, Wolfram. You'll have to negotiate with your ex-slaves.
The balloon was now ready to go, tugging at the single tethering line that held it to the ground. Wolfram dropped his large knife and gripped the plaited rope in his pudgy fingers, making a desperate effort to climb it. Despite his huge weight, the pressure of the heated canopy was now pulling hard, and the buried, hooked grapnel suddenly popped free from the dirt, releasing the balloon. The stickies were within 50 paces as the basket started to rise majestically into the air, carrying Gert Wolfram away with it. They broke into a stumbling, clumsy run, attempting to follow.
Cut it! Cut him free, lover, or the muties will grab hold and pull us back down, butcher us.
They were lifting with agonizing slowness, the grapnel trailing only a yard from the ground. Wolfram fought to climb the rope, his feet kicking for purchase. His head was strained back, blood-filled eyes popping as he stared directly up into Ryan's face. The stickies were 30 paces away from him, all reaching up toward the dangling man as though they were worshipping a god from the sky.
Goodbye, Wolfram.
Freed from his dragging weight, the balloon shot upward, rising quickly above the level of the highest surrounding branches. The basket was 50 feet up, the way clear of any threat from the stickies. But they no longer had any sort of interest in Ryan and the others.
Ryan!
All of their attention was centered on a weeping, crawling creature that lay among them in the dirt. As Ryan and the others watched in fascinated horror, the circle of stickies closed in over Wolfram. The wind carried the balloon gently away toward the east, rising higher in the stillness. The wind was light and brisk, and the hunting bird soared majestically on the currents.
You think to make us get away?
With a man like that, you'd have to see his corpse staring up at the sky before you believe he's dead. And even then...
The armorer was checking his tiny sextant and wrist compass.
What's our status, JB?
Couldn't be better. Carrying us on a true wreck in toward a redoubt. This rate, we should be there sometime this afternoon.
The landing was soft and gentle on a patch of verdant meadow, scaring away a herd of browsing deer. Half an hour after, they were all gathered in the control room, ready to go into the gateway chamber. Christy linked her arm through Ryan's and smiled up at him.
We came through again and won. Wonder where we'll all end up next.
Who knows, lover? I've been wondering about how Dean's getting on. Maybe we should go visit the Rockies down the line, sometime in the next few months.
Mildred was first into the chamber, sitting on the floor, her back against the wall.
What I'd like next is to find some place where we can all have a real long rest. Somewhere with no shooting or killing.
One by one, they joined her.